Thank you, Mr. Moss. Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here with all of you on this beautiful Sabbath. Well, this afternoon, we're going to examine a topic that I hope doesn't make anyone squeamish. Blood. We're going to talk about blood. The Bible has a lot to say about blood, especially when it comes to God's holy days. And in the upcoming Passover ceremony, blood is front and center. Now, when we think about our own blood, what sort of thing comes to mind? It's probably something like, I need to keep my blood inside of me. When we get a cut on our skin, what's the first thing we do? We try to stop the bleeding. Because we know from a very basic instinctual level that we need that blood. It needs to stay inside of us because it's very, very important for the functions of our bodies. This is why in the Bible, it's very, very serious when blood is spilled. We're told in many places not to shed the blood of other human beings. This is the ultimate physical mistreatment of one another. And the blood of animals was also treated very specially. In a sacrifice, blood was to be shed. It was to be sprinkled and poured out on the altar. In Leviticus 17:11, it says that life is in the blood. It was not to be eaten. The rest of the animal could be eaten or used in other ways, but not the blood. Blood is special. And when we come to the Passover season, blood is even more special. At the first Passover in Egypt, it was the blood of that unblemished lamb painted on the doorposts that signified that life was to be preserved inside that house. And this, as we know, was a foreshadowing event, because eventually on Passover in 31 AD, Jesus Christ became that unblemished lamb. And his shed blood protects his people, you and me, protecting our lives and sparing us from the plague of death, which is the penalty for sin. Now, once Jesus Christ gave this incredible sacrifice, there was no longer any need for animal sacrifice. There was no need to shed animal blood. That symbolism of shed blood had been fulfilled with incredible, powerful, personal meaning. Physical blood pointed to spiritual principles. Now, looking at God's physical creation and meditating on it can provide us with very helpful spiritual lessons that give us the understanding that we need. So with this mentality, let's take a look at our physical blood running through our bodies and consider three functions of blood and how they point to the incredible spiritual power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The first aspect is that blood brings life. Blood brings life. Now, as we breathe in, our lungs filter out all the bad stuff and put the oxygen into our bloodstream. And as we eat and our food is digested, our digestive system selects out all the nutrients and vitamins and things we need, puts those into our bloodstream. And also our body produces various hormones, which are used to coordinate activities between different systems of the body. And those signals, those hormones, are also carried by our blood. And all of our tissues contain connections then to this circulatory system, so they can receive what they need to function. So as blood flows throughout the body, cells receive these nutrients along with the oxygen that they need to process the nutrients, and then the cells can do what they need to do: muscle growth, sensory functions, temperature regulation, and so on. And those hormones keep all our different systems in sync. And without blood, none of this is possible. Life is not possible. So let's turn over to John 6 and verse 54. John 6 and verse 54. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus had performed a miracle, feeding 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. So the next day, the people wanted more free food, as people often do, so they went looking for him. So he took this opportunity to show the people that true life isn't given by physical food, which just makes you hungry again. Jesus himself is the bread of life. Following him truly satisfies the hunger of the soul. But he continued to use this metaphor of eating. And so in John 6:54, he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." And this idea turned a lot of people off, who took him literally at his word, and they missed the bigger picture. In fact, many of them knew the biblical prohibition against eating blood, and so it seemed like Jesus Christ was going against the very word of God. but he was not talking about the literal eating of his literal blood. When we eat or consume something, it becomes part of us. That's the point Jesus was making here. When a person consumes Jesus Christ, when his teachings, his mind, and his nature enter into us, we sustain true spiritual life. All the different parts of our lives are then enriched, enhanced, and made better through his spiritual nutrition. So let's think about those three life-giving functions of blood. Think about physical breathing, as we mentioned. So we do this naturally. We do this without thinking. It's part of our instinct, part of our involuntary systems. Now, spiritually, when we take on the blood of Jesus Christ, we're replacing our human nature, the things we do instinctually, with God's life-giving nature. So the blood of Jesus Christ transports this spiritual oxygen throughout our bodies and our lives so that we can do good things without even thinking about it. Think about physical food, about eating. This is something we do consciously, multiple times a day. And we know we're supposed to eat things that are good for us, but we don't always do that. But we can expand this idea to talk about our choices in life, the things that we do in a conscious way. The blood of Jesus Christ builds us up when we make spiritually nutritious choices. And then think about those hormones, those signals between systems. Now, I think this is similar to the way that our conscience works. Our consciences signal us to make those right choices, and they string good choices together. And so the blood of Christ enables us to develop those consciences that drive right thinking and decisions so that all parts of our lives work together. And so we can see that blood brings life. Just as we cannot live without these functions of physical blood, it is impossible to have spiritual life without the blood of Jesus Christ. Another aspect of physical blood, the second aspect, is that it cleans us and removes waste from our bodies. It cleans us and removes waste from our bodies. After our blood brings oxygen, nutrients, and hormones, it then exchanges those for waste products that are produced by our cells. And it takes away those products from our tissues so they don't get bogged down. Because if these waste products in our body build up, our systems work less efficiently or not at all. And sometimes it can cause us physical pain. So these things must be removed. As our cells use oxygen, they produce carbon dioxide, which we breathe out. Other waste products get transported to the liver and kidneys for filtering out of the body. And blood takes care of all of this. So what's the spiritual analogy? What are the spiritual waste products and toxins that build up in our bodies, in our lives? Well, it's sin. Sin does not give life. It degrades life. It takes life. It destroys life. And as human beings, no matter how much we wish it weren't true, sin is still a part of life. Now, as the children of God, we no longer have sin as our nature, but we still commit sin, and we need to have those byproducts of our remaining human nature removed from us so that we can flourish and live. Turn with me over to Hebrews 9 and verse 11. Hebrews 9 and verse 11. Now, the author of Hebrews is instructing Christians that were newly converted out of Judaism, and so he's using the very same analogies that we've been discussing so far with sacrifices. And in Hebrews 9 and verse 11, it says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So spiritual life cannot thrive with these dead works, these waste products present in our lives. We must routinely go through the process of purging these dead works. This is the process of forgiveness of sin. How awesome it is to have a loving God the Father and elder brother Jesus Christ who made the way for this to happen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our conscience from dead works, from unprofitable human nonsense, so that life can flow through us and we can effectively serve the living God. So as we think about how our blood removes what is harmful, think of this wonderful gift of forgiveness. Those sins, those waste products are gone. A third aspect of physical blood is that it fights battles for us. It fights battles for us. I find this part especially fascinating, just how amazing God's design is. Now, our blood routinely encounters things from the outside that shouldn't be there. And we talked about waste. We talked about things that we ourselves produce, byproducts of our existence that don't belong in us. But there are also external invading forces that seek to destroy us. And our amazing blood fights these forces on our behalf. So far we've been talking about red blood cells, but there are white blood cells as well. The white blood cells are our body's defenders as part of our immune system. And so when these external germs invade our bodies, our white blood cells battle back. There are a few different kinds of white blood cells, different tactics for different enemies. Large white blood cells can completely envelop an invading germ and dissolve it, turning it into a harmless lump of cells that just get carried away. Other white blood cells, called lymphocytes, make antibodies and antitoxins. And this is really amazing. These lymphocytes can detect all the different shapes of things that don't belong in our bodies. And then they can create cells that match up with those shapes and neutralize them. Specific countermeasures that fit these unique shapes. And once these antibodies are formed in our immune system tends to remember how to make more of them very quickly. It's the main reason why there are those childhood diseases that they say once you get them as a kid, you can't get them as an adult. It's mostly true because your body has those antibodies ready to go for those attackers. Now, Jesus Christ does the exact same thing for us. He gives us what we need to fight off those external forces. This is the process of overcoming. We cannot overcome without him. The book of Hebrews says in multiple places that Jesus lived a human life and saw everything that there is to see. He faced temptation just like we do. He faced invaders of all different shapes and sizes. And he had friends who suffered. And he healed many people from so many different problems. And he continues doing this today for us. Because remember Ephesians 6:12. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, or against germs, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So yes, we still get physically sick, and we need our physical immune systems to fight for us. But real life, the real battle, is for our minds and spirits, against Satan the devil and his invading forces. Let's turn now to Revelation 12 and verse 10. Revelation 12 and verse 10. And we'll see the role of the blood of Jesus Christ in our ultimate victory. Revelation 12 and verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death.'" So Satan himself will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And so as we think about our physical blood and our immune systems, remember that Jesus Christ is our spiritual immune system. His experience and power matches up with all those different spiritual invaders that we face. And he will ultimately envelop Satan the devil and render him harmless as he sets up the kingdom of God on the earth. Blood is one of the key symbols of Passover, which we'll keep in just a few days. So as you think about Christ's shed blood, and you think about the symbol of the wine, which we put into our bodies to represent that putting in of the power of Christ and his blood in us, think about what his blood does for us spiritually. Think about what it does for us individually. It gives us life. It removes our sins, our dead works, and it fights for us against outside forces. But also think about what it does for the entire body of Christ, the church of God. Christ's blood gives the church life, as we all individually draw nutrition from that same spiritual bloodstream. It removes harmful things from the church so that only what is good remains. And it protects the church from the great dragon who seeks to destroy it. So let's come together this Passover season and share in the wonderful gift of the shed blood of Jesus Christ.